And that's what, that's actually why I dropped that, like to actually hit some of the business stuff and just talk about one structuring stuff, building it, and because again, you're in a niche that's again not fully accepted by the world yet. So you're climbing
uphill. I just got a bank to accept us as who we are. We're without a fake name.
Now we're doing a DBA forever kind of deal.
Oh, yeah, we're Rijo LLC.
There you go. Welcome to being black.
Yeah. In fact.
If this is what it's like.
So back to what I was saying.
What's up, what's up, what's up, friends, family, and fans? Welcome to Life on Podcast. This is where we listen and inspire friends in entertainment.
And everywhere.
Yeah, because life happens to everyone. We are so excited. I am on cloud nine.
How'd you get there, Stone?
I'm on cloud nine.
We
are with our guest, Mr. Joe Salome. He is the CEO and founder and head honcho of the Georgia Hemp Company. What up, Joe?
Hey, thank you.
Joey!
Appreciate you having me in.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Italian, right?
Lebanese, actually.
Oh, man, Salome seems so
way
Italian.
Off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Salome, because actually, I remember when I first saw your name, I was wondering if it was going to be Salome.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Yep. I think so when they first came over, that's actually what it was Salome, and you know, they just...
Look at that.
Family said no. It's
not as dumb as you look.
Yeah. No, man. You guys are smart.
Yo, so Joe is actually very inspiring. You are the example of someone who you came up with this great company, but it came out of a purpose.
Sure.
Right? And then and it turned into a passion, and then it blew up, and you got some deals on the table, and that, so really exciting stuff. But I don't know it all, so I'm gonna save the conversation for here. But sure. You definitely shown that, you know, there's actually more to this stuff than meets the eye. So let's just jump right into it, if you don't mind. So yeah. I'm gonna ask the, you know, just the age old question.
Sure.
How did you get started?
Yeah. So, what are your beginnings? Like, take us from your humble beginnings.
You know, I mean, just getting high back in the day with
right
some friends after a girlfriend dropped me. You know,
it's always the girls.
I was like 16 or something, started hanging out with the boys again, and, you know, started smoking the ganja.
So
you found a new girl.
A new girl.
Mary Jane.
So the breakup was the impetus towards that, you think?
I mean, it wasn't completely, but I started hanging out with the guys again, and, you know, hanging out with the guys, just have a lot of downtime, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, started smoking weed just around that time frame. You know, my mom used to, like, buy me old, fake marketing, right? The propaganda about cannabis. Mm-hmm. And I would look at it and you know, my career was in marketing. So, you know, that was kind of the early stages for me to like really kind of get into marketing and understand, okay, wait a minute. There's a controlling factor here at some levels, right? And, you know, the message matters. A lot of times, again, eventually the why matters too, not just the product, right? Like, because everyone's selling something.
Right.
But Chiquita Banana is Chiquita Banana for a reason, right?
Right.
Krispy Kreme's Krispy Kreme for a reason. Coca-Cola's Coca-Cola for a reason. RC Cola's RC Cola for a reason.
You remember RC Cola?
I mean, my dad used to talk about RC Colas and cream pies.
Moon
pies.
Are you old enough to remember RC Cola? I thought we were leaning into the why Coca-Cola became Coca-Cola. But
but wait, back up. Because you said your mom bought this marketing stuff. So
she
was
buy
supportive?
Me like old propaganda. Like, yeah, absolutely. I guess I don't know. I mean, the internet was right in front of us, right? This is in the 90s. So, I mean, the internet was there. Okay. So, like, if you heard something, you immediately had the ability to look it up.
Right.
Ask Jeeves was the thing back then.
Ask Jeeves was a big thing, right? Yeah. I mean, encyclopedia went from on my shelf.
Yep, to encyclopedia.com.
And we could look up information. Again, that's the we're humans, and tools, as they present themselves, we either utilize them or don't utilize them.
Right.
And there's ways to do that. And so I learned how to utilize Google and Ask Jeeves and all these different things to find information that, you know, I couldn't get it elsewhere, that maybe wasn't true or was true.
Uh-huh.
My mom was a nurse, my dad was in the military. And so, standard was you followed protocol, right? Okay. My mom's a nurse, you follow a book. It's a medical thing. You don't go off book in military. Right. You don't go off pattern, off what the order is. Right. And so
question on that, being a Lebanese family, was that a cultural, like, so I actually had a client who's from Asia, India, from Kerala. And, you know, a lot of times in the Asian culture, mm-hmm. that's like almost religion of the whole follow the script type thing. Is that something?
By the time I'm third generation, so my grandfather came over, I guess, in 1914, 1912. Okay, my great grandfather. So by the both of my grandfather and my father are both in the military, so they did a stint, you know, through the 1900s here, and you know, as a military family. Okay. But no, by the time it got to me, it'd been pretty much washed out. I'm Americanized. Yeah, asking me, grown up on a military base, and
I want to get into how some of the foundational stuff that led towards such a liberal outlook on some of this stuff. We talk about the being on military bases, some of the strict stuff, and just that. How long was that period of your life? And is that one of those pendulum swings that pushed you to the other way?
Well, not really. I grew up in Las Vegas, so the first 12 years of my life were in
all
Vegas.
That's out the window.
So it was Nellis Air Force Base in Vegas, and I remember driving up to 7-Eleven with my dad. Well, he got a cup of coffee and a roll of quarters to throw in the slot machine. I mean, there'd be drug deals happening out in front of the 7-Eleven while I played video games. Mm-hmm. I saw transvestite hookers on my way to school at 7 a.m. outside the bar, and I'd be like, "Hey, Dad, what's that about?" And you know, he was pretty real with me, and he'd tell me what it was and what was going on. And you know, in environments like that, it's kind of hard to avoid that kind of stuff. And you got two options: either be real or lie your ass off.
Right,
and then get shocked when you become an adult.
Right. And so I was pretty aware of everything. But what I did learn from my dad were all the organizational skills, right? The goals, what it took to get there, how to utilize teams,
nice.
Things like that. I mean, look, I mean, I could have seen myself in the military 100%. I mean, I'm absolutely. I mean, I could have seen it, but it just wasn't where my head was at.
Right. I was going to say, it probably wouldn't have been that.
I mean, I started getting high, and then next thing you know, I had other ideas. I was like, man, like.
That happens when you get high, though. You get ideas.
Yeah, you get a lot of ideas. My uncle's a flower shop entrepreneur, business owner in New York City, and, you know, heard, you know, stories of grandeur from him as an entrepreneur. My aunt was a real estate agent in Peoria, Illinois, and she was doing really well. So my dad's brothers and sisters were these business people. And if you go back another generation, or my great-grandfather that came over was running a small business in the middle of Missouri when he first got here in 19, whatever, right? So there's like this history of business too. So you got to look back, hey man, I'm Lebanese. There's something in me that just likes to talk and to wheel and deal. And there was something in me like that liked business.
Okay.
And so being here in Georgia, I went to Kennesaw State University and you know, they had a great business program.
Yeah.
Great entrepreneurship program. That's what really kind of drew me to that.
The Cole College of Business.
Yeah, Cole's College of Business,
That's dope. Sorry, so
anyway,
we're not in the military.
But I wasn't scared. Like I had an upbringing that was very exposed to, if you will.
Right.
So, taking chances or not following the norm was norm for me.
Got you.
Right.
Yeah.
And I always tell them to my daughter now. She's like, I want to get, you know, this skirt or this whatever. I said, does every kid have this? She goes, yeah. I said, do you want to be like every kid?
Nice.
That's what we're doing right now.
I mean, it's options. It's cool if you do. And I do too. We all got to start somewhere. And we're going to start. But how do you adapt that from there? It's cool to get the whatever, whatever. But let's just take a step back and look at the other options real quick and see what we can do to make it our own.
So I promise I will not get on a soapbox.
Here comes the soapbox.
Nope, but I'm not. Matter of fact, I'm going to slide it under the table. But to me, dude, I'm such a fan of you being like that with your kids. Because half of the ish that our kids are doing right now, you know, we can claim that, you know, it's whatever it is, but at the end of the day, they're following suit. You know, because especially with technology, you're always being fed. Even when you're not trying to be fed, you're being fed.
And that's what technology's done since radio, right? Or since written script, people read, they follow, and patterns become patterns. And that doesn't mean they're good or bad, right? Some bad patterns get followed.
Right. Programming for a reason.
Yeah. So pushing your kids to be outside. I'm such a fan of that right now. I can't even tell you.
And this may be a lame thing that I keep inside me, but my thing is just to be better than average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. If I can just be a little bit better than average, then that means I'm a little bit different and more and a little bit more driven, a little bit one step ahead. But what's that mentality mean over a period of time? Now it's more than just better than average, right?
Yeah.
Now we're up here.
Yeah.
Now it's better than ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see a lot of eclectic entrepreneurs like yourself that come from families that have more traditional business minds. You mentioned some real estate stuff and your grandfather's business. Is this the reason that you became more creative at all? Or was it part of just, I don't want to be an average? Because, I mean, this is the cool thing. When you're in a family of exceptional people, exceptional is what average is. That becomes the norm. Right. So was it a desire to not run or head a normal business that had you step out into more of a a risque taboo type of environment?
I mean, look, I worked for Moe's Southwest Grill before this. I worked for a hair cuttery. They're both national brands. I owned my own ad agency for a while. My dad was a chief master sergeant in the military. He wasn't just in the military. He jumped out of helicopters in Vietnam. That was big shit.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm like, am I ever going to live up to anything that badass?
Yeah, right.
How badass? His arms were like this big, like at an older age. I'm like, dude.
Don't blow his head
off. Yeah, you already know. He leaned this way. But, you know, yeah, like, baby, yeah.
No, but I remember being a kid looking at him like, you're like a big dude.
No.
Like, how did you do this your whole life? Anyway, so it's just, I always looked at him as like this guy that was always on a level just doing badass shit. Then my mom, she was just a nurse doing really cool stuff for different people. And you're just like, y'all are just doing things.
And what I'm not hearing is that your dad made you feel like you had to live up to anything. That's what I'm not hearing.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Never pushed me in any way whatsoever other than do your best, treat people right, and just go get it.
Kudos, mom and dad. So back to mom.
Just easy stuff.
Where's mom's role in all this? So I'm hearing where dad's influence is. Where does mom come
in? My dad actually passed away when I was 18.
Okay.
I was going to ask you. I felt some emotional coming up. So
I'm an only child. He's my best friend. You know, that wasn't what it was.
Oh, yeah.
But that being said, when he passed away, my mom got a little bit of money from, you know, whatever small investments they may have had. And it was on her now to become a business person and understanding investments. And so she taught me about that a little bit. And just, you know, it didn't mean a whole lot at that point, I guess. Yeah. But it ended up being a lot because when I started getting into the business world, I could talk to her about business and she'd actually understand and get it.
Right.
And it was actually kind of really, really cool. When my dad passed away, it was just, you know, me and my mom at that point, and I was 18, 19. So like I went to college, but it was at Forest, Kennesaw. Yeah. So I was just, you know, I was up the street. So it wasn't like a big deal. So I went home every weekend. She cleaned my clothes sometimes.
The new bonding, and she'd find things.
You know, there's a basket of clothes. I'm going to hang out for a while. You want to make me some food? Hey, why is this weed in your basket of clothes? I'm like, you can keep it if you want.
Seriously, nice. So what is she like? What's her reaction?
Well, so that was college. And when I moved back in with her at the end of college, she found my weed. Uh-huh. And she found my stash, and she like put it up on a shelf for me. She like put it in a little box and like, put it like she's like
not like out of the way, but like
she got like a tray that you put like
I guess I found this, I know this is here kind of thing.
But yeah, like, go. I'm gonna put on this little tray for you, and we're gonna put little things and here's a little lighter, a little place to put your ashes, and I'm like in like a little poker for the like clench your bowl.
That's crazy.
I was like, was this out of character for her to you?
This is the first time it happened, probably.
I mean, I'm sure like when she first found my bong 6 years before that, she's like, do you need to go to rehab? Are you freebasing? I'm like,
freebasing? If you went from a bong to JoJo.
I was like, what are you talking about? Now, again, this is the like late 90s or 2000s. There are a lot of pill heads out there. A lot of pill epidemic is really happening. I was like, God, no, mom. It's just weed.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
I'm wondering, too, is I wonder if
she's a nurse. And so she just thought, who knows? I don't know.
And I wonder if it was showing some type of maybe emotional support for you.
100%.
Given, okay.
100%. More than that. I mean, she grew up in the... She's a hippie.
Yeah.
Her hair is down to her ass my entire life.
Yeah, something okay, about, like,
she grew up in
saying
an
that
era
about
where,
a mom just doesn't feel right.
We'll call her Nurse Janice if that makes it easier.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So now it seems like the door has been cracked open. We got entrepreneur fire lit. We have a product that is now in your life. When do we say, you know, let me turn this into a business or let me do this for real?
You know,
for
in
real.
College, I did start a small photography company, right? So going back to the entrepreneur thing, I had gotten a little bit of a fill with this small business that me and my friend had started. We were at Kennesaw. There's a 3-to-1 ratio of girls to guys. And I grew up in the 80s with a lot of stupid movies. And I was like, why don't we make a girls calendar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we did. You know, we had 50 girls compete in front of a lot of the student body around Halloween. I had I went around to all these businesses in Kennesaw and had them advertise in the calendar, and I gave it away for free. Yeah. And again, my goal, and I think I told this before, my goal is to bring the community together because at the time, nobody really paid attention to the Kennesaw students.
Right.
We are growing leaps and bounds. It was the early 2000s, but most restaurants and bars and people were just kind of like, yeah, thanks for coming in. Here's a cute discount. Mm-hmm. Right. We'll worry about all the workers and the people coming to the mall and coming between their homes. So anyway, you know, we had a small photography company. We did weddings. We did, you know, sporting events, really stupid, silly stuff, right? And then we got out of that, got into the real world working at an advertising agency. And then pretty much my first or second year, like, in the real world, my mom, and this is kind of where, you know, the story starts changes. My mom came down with cancer. She had a ovarian cancer. And so I was in my professional career, I never did not want to have cannabis. I always wanted to have access.
Okay.
It was always the worry of, like, how do I continue having access to this?
Right.
Because we all got older and people stopped doing it, right? Mm. The people who used to buy from just stopped having it. Mm-hmm. And so you had to climb the ladder a little bit and figure out, okay, if you don't have it, then who does have it? Mm-hmm. Well, this guy that, you know, what you eventually climb the ladder and you think it's really scary and ends up not being scary. Ends up being just Jimmy's friend John that's got a family and a couple of kids, and he's selling cannabis, right? Because mm-hmm. he makes money, but he also because he knows people need it. Right. I found that people that were buying it needed it for other reasons than just getting high or what we typically were doing at that age, right? And so it was, you were getting it, and you'd say, hey, yeah, I use it, but my mom uses it too because, you know, she's got Crohn's. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, well, what do you mean she's got Crohn's? And then you tell me the issues, and I go, oh, okay, cool. Let me go back and just maybe research that a little bit just to see if there's anything else I can do to help out. That's just my nature. But I would go back and research it because the internet's there, right? Mm-hmm. And there's all this internet research, and there's all this research to organizations and medical research companies. And
One second. I want to do a stone because we're glossing over this whole thing a lot. The fact that
you're saying that he's dropping a lot of nuggets, actually, but I don't want to keep interrupting.
But no, but a bunch of this is free information that's fully accessible to anybody who's willing to just get on the computer and type in a few words and go get it. One of the biggest things that both of us run into in our respective industries is people who come to us with questions. And his biggest thing is Google it. But people will come and ask.
That's my first answer, yeah.
They'll ask us the simplest questions. People, I mean, I had a meeting last week that was an hour-long meeting for detailed stuff. And I was like, you just spent an hour with me. And thank you. I mean, pay my car note with this. That's awesome.
Yep.
But that was a 15-minute Google session on your own had you just done that. And then you could have come and asked the details. Mm-hmm. Is that – I want to ask about that intangible and weave it into the story of getting back to what you're talking about, of just being a self-starter and being able to go get and find information and then monetizing free information.
I mean, it's just what my dad taught me to do. Just figure it out. I mean, you can't keep asking.
I love your dad. I don't even know the guy. And Man, I wish I was alive then.
Look, right? There's only so many times you could tell somebody something or show somebody something. Like, yes. At the end of the day, just go and do.
Yeah.
And fall. Fall down.
Yes. Oh, we about to take up a collection plate.
Please fall down.
break a few.
You almost have to.
Spill some
money. You have to fall down. And you have to waste some money sometimes. You got to get burnt. You got to know what it's like to feel the pain.
Joe, preach. I mean, seriously, because the waste the money part, I am going through that with someone right now. Like, they want everything they do to hit and to be right and to... And it's not going to happen. You are going to waste some money. And the thing is, it's not really a waste. I mean, I'm not just being Mr. Positive. Like, okay, you found out a way not to do it. But you kind of had to. Man, thank you. Anyway, keep going on.
My business partner says inches lead to miles. This is not the first version of this logo and bag, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't the first bottle. I posted the first bottle that we had the other day. Had like the lowest amount of milligrams. It was the simplest, saddest looking label. But look at this motherfucker. It's got geometric shapes and patterns and colors.
Beautiful.
And an actual squeeze drip top.
Squeeze drip top with seal in a batch in a come on now.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And that's version 20, at least I bet.
Right.
Right. Right.
Those are visions. I didn't mean to go on that tangent.
Yeah,
it's just
but I'm glad you stopped.
When we say those things, I've had people come to me and say, you keep saying the same thing. And I was like, because you're not getting it. And then when somebody else says it, they magically get it.
Look at Alibaba. If you have an idea for a product, you can literally get on there and find a manufacturer that can give you that idea for a product, customized to whatever you want, with your logo in a packaging, ready to put into a store or on a website to ship. Mm-hmm. It's that easy.
Right.
You want to know how to ship something? Google, how do I ship stuff?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I guarantee you there's an SEO, somebody playing some ads that's going to give you an ad that says you can ship stuff with this ad. But this programming there is a tool. We're humans. Use your tools that people get. We've been given tools. Use them.
Right.
Why do we use a cup? Because our hand wasn't sufficient. Right?
This is, yeah.
Way more liquor for
so many lanes I can go down there, but I'm just not going to. So, anyway. So many platforms. All right, so
back.
Yeah, so back to, because what I'm hearing so far, what I'm getting a hint of with the calendar and stuff is, and you said a key word, you said a community, is it sounds like you're starting to get a sense of recognizing a need and then.
That's what entrepreneurs do.
Meeting it, yep.
We find a niche.
Yeah.
We go after it. That nobody else is doing it, and if they are, you do it better.
Say that.
So where did the calendar go? How did that evolve?
We printed 5,000 of them.
Okay.
I had three advertisers on each ad. Each model in the calendar got a full photo shoot. So they left with about 9 different photos that they could use for whatever they wanted. It was a great success, and I graduated and got my first job at an ad agency.
Which ad agency was it?
At the time, it was called Carter Advertising. We did recruitment advertising for the transportation industry. So we helped recruit truck drivers for trucking companies.
Cool. Okay.
Never thought I'd ever be in that. So my goal was always to be, I want to be in sports marketing. Mm-hmm. Like that was the goal, right?
Okay.
I got into truck driving.
Well, success is this thing.
It's 100%. Straight line. It's inches lead to miles. Exactly. You know, baby steps. Everything was something. And so what I always said was everything I did was a building block for something ultimately that I was going to do myself. Mm-hmm.
I love the clips that you're giving me right now. This is amazing. All right, so where do we go from there? So now you're
at the ad agency. Recognizing the I was at the ad agency, recognizing other people were using cannabis for other stuff, other than just getting high. And at that point, my mom was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and we kind of went through that process. Okay. She was open to using cannabis, but she was also going through chemo afterwards, right? And so it was kind of a dual thing, but it was what the cannabis did to help her recover from the chemo and bounce back in those years afterwards. That really kind of helped and kind of really opened even more eyes.
Let's do some educational stuff then. What did it do? Because obviously, I mean, I've taken it for pain. I've got 2 bulging discs and I've got sciatic and all that stuff. So it is one of my favorite.
Using it for some stuff?
Yeah. But what is tell us what it does, what it actually does as opposed to just relaxing you and getting
high. Yeah, and what we traditionally know. Well, about 40 years ago, there was a gentleman named Raphael Meshulam in Israel who started doing some research on cannabis in the human body. And what he found was that we have a system in our body called the endo or natural cannabis system, the endocannabinoid system, natural cannabis system, where we have receptors that accept enzymes and cannabinoids to help them react with our body to bring it into homeostasis. And so we have a CB1 receptor in our brain and what we call CB2 in our peripherals. And different cannabinoids interact with those receptors to help us feel certain ways.
Okay.
So with cancer, if we took it back to the beginning of it, cancer, a lot of people will start taking high doses of cannabis oil to help stop or kill the cancer. It will vasorestrict flow of what that cancer cell is trying to eat off of.
That's what I was going to ask. So cancer actually literally helps with the disease directly. It's not just to help you feel good to get through it. It literally...
Research shows it will stop the flow of food going to that. It'll kill that cell from eating anymore.
Starve it.
Now, again, this is high-level stuff.
Right, right.
Lots of cannabis oil a day. A couple grams of just straight extract. Right.
Okay.
More than what's legal now.
Yeah.
Well, you can get that kind of stuff for medical reasons in medical states.
Sure.
But absolutely, this is concentrate stuff that would put a horse down. Now, these individuals will build up a tolerance to be able to take that in to do that. And so it's interesting what it can do for cancer as a vasorestrictor. For sickle cell, it's a vasodilator. So it's opening the blood vessels for those large platelets to flow through.
Okay. So somehow it has some kind of biointelligence to know what to do for each thing.
It's these receptors.
The body tells it how to use it. Yeah, right? the body
tells it. Amazing.
And it's been around for millions of years. This isn't new. It's a plant. Mm-hmm. Plants didn't just show up.
Right.
Right. What I always find interesting, and again, going back to just kind of when I was growing up, you'd see an article or you'd see a story about a frozen body being unearthed and unburied. And it had this with him and it had this tool and had whatever. And then they opened its satchel and guess what was in the fucking satchel?
Canvas.
Yeah. Every time. And so as a 16, a 17, a 20-year-old, and you're like, wait a minute. Who's lying? Why are they using it? Let's guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever reason you want to guess. And were they burning it? Probably. Or were they eating it raw? Maybe as possibly. Well. But they both have medical purpose. They both have therapeutic purposes for this endo-natural cannabis system. Mm. So that's Rafael Mishulam, him and his team discovered this, documented it, and two of those members from his team now work for a pharmaceutical group in the UK that has the first FDA-approved CBD medicine for seizure patients. So there's a tree, right? It's like a coaching staff, right? Absolutely. There's a tree of people that from him, those guys, and what I'm sure the people that are under them are at other pharmaceutical groups as well doing research about cannabis. So we're really excited about cannabis on the street corner and being able to get it in stores and beverages and gummies. But the pharmaceutical company's about to fuck it up.
So I'm just about to ask you, yeah, you took it right out of it. So you're excited. Awesome. What kind of battles are you looking forward to? Because obviously, they got to figure out how to monetize.
They're
going to
isolate every one
anything.
Of these things. They're going to start doing research on every one of these cannabinoids and what it does to the endocannabinoid system and what it can do for these life-threatening diseases, particularly, right? Like, okay, cancer, let's go after it. Let's see what we can do. Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, CBD alone as an anti-inflammatory, what does it do for our brain as we start to get older? If we're the first generation that can start taking CBD at high doses and as an anti-inflammatory that won't hurt our livers, won't hurt us, right? Like an Advil or something over a period of time. And it can maybe help all these brain things that we have as we get older from that are inflammation kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
Everything starts with inflammation, but absolutely. What if we can get, you know, these Alzheimer's, these Parkinson's, right. These things that are even like NFL players. Like I'm great friends with some ex-NFL players and them banging their heads for years, they understand what it did. Mm-hmm. They know what it did.
So are you going to move into that space? Or
we've been playing in that space. In it. We've been playing in that space. We've been working with ex-players for the last 7 years. And yes, and we'll get into this later, but our new partnership with the Braves, we're the official CBD of the Atlanta Braves. Mm-hmm. Major League Sports recognizing what CBD can do. Okay. They're allowing their players to use cannabis now, right? One, because they don't want them using opioids. Mm-hmm. Right. Two, because they're understanding what this stuff can now do.
Right.
But what we have is, and again, it has to go through a process, a pretty rigorous process, but it's NSF approved, and NSF approves machinery manufacturing and products to go into athletes' bodies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you're taking like a Gatorade Twitch, you're taking a powder that you're working out with, and you want to make sure if you're an Olympic athlete, MLB athlete, NFL athlete, you want to make sure it doesn't have anything in it to fail a test.
Right.
NSF approves that, and that's what we have now for athletes. We have an NSF approved CBD that athletes can take. It's pretty cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah. That's huge.
So we're the third company in Major League Baseball to have this contract.
Right. All right.
So anyway, going back, the endocannabinoid system, that's why we believe in it so much. It's on our walls in our retail stores. It's something that I was preaching and talking to medical patients here in Georgia about since day one, because we, the doctors, all had to understand what cannabis was going to do to their bodies versus the medicines that they were going to bypass.
Mm-hmm. I got a question about just education in general. NSF approved, is that what we... I've never heard of that before in my life. First time I'm hearing that is right here, right now, about that particular approval agency. Wait one second, and I want you to get deep into it, because I got two parts of this thing. A big thing that the generation after me is running into is that educating them about the importance of things is difficult unless they're direct injected by some kind of microwave entertainment thing. Everything that you're sharing right here seems to be real high level thought stuff. I see me and Stone digesting it because we're thinkers.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, you're a high level thinker. I mean, that's the
Stoner talking.
Call it what you want, but if you tried to present this to someone who was 10 years younger than me right now, they look at you like this and they just say, okay, weed. All the endo, internal, all that stuff would do just like this.
You should see the valets that I talk to when I drop my cars off sometimes. They'll like be like, hey, man, you're in the cannabis industry, this, that, and the other. And we'll kind of get into an in-depth conversation and it'll just
glaze over.
Just what, dude?
Yeah. So that's my thing is how do we turn this? Because when we go back to your sales and your marketing background, marketing is the direct driver of everything. Getting someone to see a vision in the smallest digestible bite possible. And it has some type of entertainment factor. When you're setting up or doing research on how to get people to see this for what it is, what is that process with talking to the different age groups, the different generations?
You know, I think it's a window. And I just think I'm lucky to be in a window of knowing the counterculture mm-hmm. of growing up with Cheech and Chong and Friday and that kind of influence, and also knowing having to wear a suit and tie in early in my career and work in this other world. But always coming back to my Birkenstocks and my hat, right? Mm-hmm. I always wanted to meld the two. And as much as this is medical, and I'm not going to ever lie about it, I went to Kennesaw State. I shouldn't be talking medical stuff at all. But unfortunately, I had to go and do the research because nobody else would. I went and did these things because somebody else wasn't going to, aka the government, right? And they made these laws, and somebody had to provide something to the patients. So
now, you were pretty influential, though, in Georgia changing a lot of its laws. Like, tell me about that a little bit.
So soon after my mom, after that success, that was like 2005, 2006, and she got healthy again, which is awesome. She lived. She's still alive. We're rocking and rolling. She got mm-hmm. two new hips, right? We're doing things.
Two new hips? Whoa.
She's in her 70s.
Okay. Yeah, but that's great that she got them.
Yeah. And guess what helps her recover?
CBD.
Kool-Aid. No, I'm kidding.
It's like, big Pee Wee Herman fan. Love. Hey, what's the word of the day? Cannabis.
Oh, I can't get the face out. Yeah.
Come in riding on my scooter, my flying bike.
Hey, boys and girls. All right. Sorry. Go ahead. All right. So back to politics.
We get to like 2012 and Colorado's legalizing, right? They're going from medical. Mm-hmm. Colorado's right. medical, but I mean, California's medical. Colorado's going from medical to recreational. Right. That's huge news, right? Mm-hmm. So it happens. And so me and one of my childhood friends at the time, guy I grew up going to church with, first guy I ever got high with. First guy I used to buy my weed from, we were like, hey, we should start a cannabis company like out there and let's get ahead of this thing. Like, I was in marketing for Moe's at the time, and it's what I did. I'm like, I can brand this thing. I can crank out content. So I can do social media. And he was a great writer. So we launched this company. We were making stuff in the kitchen. We were, just trying to create a brand on the streets. And then we were like, holy crap, the guys at the Capitol want to, like, they're like serious about this. I think they want to pass a bill. I think they're serious about maybe like trying to do something. And so we started reaching out, didn't really get much from that. And we started talking to patients, and a lot of them were caregivers and parents of children that were having seizures. And so that was kind of the focus for our politicians, is helping these children get medicine that would help them stop having seizures. Well, that opened the door for a lot of other patients going, hey, what about us? Right? Like, we have some life-threatening things. Can we have this as well? Right. And it's like, look what's going on out west. They're doing it. Like, there's some research out here. There's some other, there's a standard for it. Can we try it? So we did a press release stating that we were giving away medical marijuana despite state laws. And what had happened at that point was the politicians then finally decided to reach out to us.
Because people saw the press release and the benefits of that, and then constituents stepping
and
away
news,
from them.
And news groups were reaching out to us. And again, I was in marketing, still young in my career, but at the same time, it was like, I know what to do.
Right.
I know what to do here.
Yeah.
Let's edit the interview. Let's show them the website that we built. Let's show them the blog posts and the research that you've put together, and let's go build a company. And so that's what happened. We started doing that. We went down to the Capitol. We started helping them write the bill that's currently on the books mm-hmm. for medical cannabis in Georgia. Right, it's not the best. It's not great, but they're somewhere. Baby steps, right? Yeah, they're right. Somewhere.
Inches make miles? Is that what you said?
Inches lead to miles.
I'm going to soak that one up.
Take it in.
What's some of the pushback you got? I mean, being here at the edge of the Bible Belt. Yeah, I mean, just you're right in the Bible Belt right here.
You get pushback from religious groups. You get pushback from legal groups, mm-hmm. law enforcement groups, right? From local small town all the way up to their state representative that represents all, let's say, sheriff groups,
sure.
right? Mm-hmm. The Georgia Baptist, from the one church in X all the way up to Y. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, is there's always fragmentation within those organizations because they're not all drinking the same juice,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right,
and then some of them have family members who could potentially benefit from.
You mean the police officers that left to take their family out west because their children needed something,
right?
Right. Or ex-nurses that were no longer working in the field that were actually still caregivers that were now open to other forms of caregiving. Mm-hmm. So yeah, during that time frame, it just really kind of that It was like a pro and a con. It was almost like you needed it to happen. You almost needed the war, not warfare, but you needed the dialogue to happen. It was silly dialogue a lot of times, mm-hmm. but you know, people truly, I guess, did not know the difference between hemp and cannabis, right? Right? Or THC and CBD, or just whatever. There was just a lack of information and knowledge. And again,
was that on purpose though? Because I mean, in order to control something, you limit the information that people have on
regulation. So you think, yeah, well, and last 100 years was all about controlling that information. Absolutely. And until those encyclopedias stayed on the shelf, we got to get on the internet, right? Mm-hmm. And that was it for me, man. Or just even Cheech and Chong movies from the 70s. And you're like, time out. What else was going on during this time frame? Mm-hmm. If this is the entertainment, that means something else is going on.
Right.
And you're like, you know, there's Woodstock, and there's this other thing, and then they're trialing LSD, and they're doing this other stuff. And you're like, I give up. You guys are fucking liars.
Right.
And again, I'm on a military base, so I'm indoctrinated just to listen and believe. Sure. But when you start digging, you start calling bullshit. Mm-hmm. Even in medicine. Medicine's only 100 and some years old.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like true Western medicine's only mm-hmm. a couple hundred or 100 and so years old. So what were we doing before that?
I was going to say, yeah, Western medicine. Yeah. Exactly. So let me ask you this. So let's keep a balance on everything, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're lining up all these great benefits, right? But even water can kill you. So my thing is, what are some of the precautions where cannabis is concerned or where weed is concerned, as you can think of?
You don't want to just use it for no reason. You don't want kids using it. I mean, brains aren't developed till we're, what, early 20s. Mm-hmm.
You triggered me on that one.
I mean, we all damaged our brains, okay? Yeah. Just straight up, whether it was alcohol.
Whether it's football. I mean,
Whatever. We all did something.
Life. Altering
life
choices
life
at the age of 12.
We're not doing
so
that.
So, right. Yeah. No, we're not. So, go ahead. So, yeah, the brains are developing, and go ahead.
You don't want to do it then, and you don't want to ever overdo it for people to ever feel what we always typically negatively associate with cannabis, that psychoactive feeling in the brain.
Right. So, no, I just think it's important for people to hear that, because we have selective hearing, mm-hmm. and when you're hearing all this good stuff, weed has, if you will, they're just coming up with all the reasons why they should do it.
Well, what he just said in a very high level way, despite what he's going to tell you, is just good things in moderation. That's all he just
100%.
Said. 100%. That's it.
No, I get it.
Yeah,
definitely.
Everything in moderation. You
have to beat that into people's heads.
You can't stretch too much. It's going to hurt eventually. Something's going to pop. Something's going to tweak. It's good. Yeah.
So how do you educate people on that? Because, I mean, obviously your products, they have amazing what he's talking about. But the side effects of them, I'm sure there's a huge sticker on that says this could happen, this is X, Y, Z. But is there an educational exchange when someone buys it?
Yeah.
Because I've been to a lot of stores that are like, there's a lot of smoke shops, and you can buy bongs, you can buy whatever you want. But then there was one I went to in Vegas, surprisingly enough, to where we couldn't leave for like 45 minutes because it turned into a class. Mm-hmm. And I learned stuff I never knew before. And it was that type of exchange.
Did you see that as a good thing?
I saw it as an amazing thing because it was like, had I just gone and done it, then
that's exactly what we do.
At
the Georgia Hemp Company, yeah. And because of taking a step back to those days of the political season, mm-hmm. once we launched our company during that time frame and started doing all the things that we were doing and making a name for ourselves, we had to actually have a product. Mm-hmm. Once we had a product and all these bills passed, we had to have an actual product that actually helped patients. So we've been over this before. I did some things I didn't want to do that wasn't completely legal, but I felt like we had to do to help these individuals.
Can't break a few eggs, though.
Right.
We broke a lot of eggs.
I'm not mad at it, dude. I mean, if it
does, like, hey, I ain't a snitch. I ain't no snitch.
I know nothing.
Just doing the drive. It was a very, very fun time frame. But through that process, I sat on a phone answering it every day, looking at an image of the endocannabinoid system and its breakdown, what everything was, what it meant, taking that in and drilling it and talking with this individual, whether it was about cancer, Crohn's, epilepsy, mitochondrial disease, the list goes on. That was the conversation of what this did to you based on this, and here's what this is going to help. This is how it's going to help. And then what we're going to now talk about is how many milligrams it's going to take to get to that point. Mm-hmm. Now, right. I thought I was going to work on the first try, right? We're going to have to titrate up. Mm-hmm. It's like, I always used to say, it's like Southern barbecue. We're going to start low and slow. We're going to work our way up to a nice little sweet spot. Once we hit that spot, we're going to try to ride that out. It's going to change. Your tolerance is going to get to a point where you're going to go, you know what? I need a little bit more.
Right. Yeah.
So there's all these different things.
What do you say when, because that's a fact of life with just about everything. But of course, when you're talking CBD, people are going to automatically associate it with drug, mm-hmm. and then they're going to mm-hmm. automatically associate it with addiction. Mm-hmm. What's the educational point for that when doses have to go up? Because I mean, it's like that when we took our son in to get tested for ADHD, when all these potential drugs were offered as a solution, it's like, oh, well, we're going to start at 5 and then we possibly move up to this. And I'm just like, wait a minute, but that sounds like an addiction.
So we're going to shoot him with a tranquilizer with a little one. Then we're mm-hmm. going to shoot him again with another tranquilizer. Right. So, yeah. I mean, that's basically
it. And we'll lace it with something that you always need.
Now,
it
to. If well, I'd have known that, I'd brought you some water-soluble CBD.
Well, you know now, so I'll see you again.
Because that's what we do for my little girl. I mean, right, I've been putting that on her stuff and in her stuff for her age.
Joe, we got to talk more.
I'm not trying to give her any pills or meds.
We're not trying to do the same thing. But that I use that as an example because mm-hmm. it's a real thing that parents are going through with kids. But then if this is an option.
And parents come in all the time as well.
Right on. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, that is exactly what we do. Your experience in Vegas, that's what we do. If you come into the shop, we're going to sit you down and talk, and you're going to give us an issue, and we're going to say, let's dig. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Let's dig, and I'm going to go see this picture on the wall here, this endocannabinoid system. We're going to talk about that. And they're going to say, well, I don't want to smoke. We're like, great, I don't want you to smoke either. We have all these other options. I've got suppositories, man. I've got a lot of different options under the sun, right?
I know.
So we got everything from suppositories to bath bombs. I got oils. We got gummies. We got hard candies.
So when they be like, man, I'm high as ish. Literally, you're high as ish. Wait, I wanted to inject this real fast, if you don't mind. Or do you really?
Go ahead.
Okay.
The reason we have them, the suppositories, fellas, I don't know if you're wondering why. When I went out west to visit some medical facilities in Seattle, mm-hmm. we would meet a lot of individuals that broke their backs and their necks from skiing, mm-hmm. and they could not smoke enough or ingest enough to meet their pain tolerance without having to do pills. So you got four holes in your body, your nose, your mouth. If you have one, a vagina in your butt, mm-hmm. right. that'll get right into your bloodstream.
Right. No, makes perfect sense. Perfect.
I was going to tell people to go Google suppository because most people want to know what we're talking about when you say that. Thank you.
Yeah, not suppository, not like supposedly or, you know how y'all be saying Valentine's. And all that stuff.
Wait, I want to hear this. A lot of women do what now? What was?
Well, they'll use it for just intestinal or stomach issues, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Things that we don't deal with. Yeah.
So the reason why I wanted to do a highlight on the educational part is it taps into, and people underestimate it so much, but it taps into the mind-body connection. Right. When you're taking this stuff and then you can visualize and see what it's doing in your body, that actually has an effect on the effects that it has on your body. So again, you're saying so many good things. I want to make sure we don't gloss over some of these really important points that people most probably won't even pay attention to.
Being tuned into your body is important. And I think, when you can take something and you can tell and you can have a benchmark and gauge that. That is super cool without just feeling numb. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's usually what most people are looking for, the numbness. Mm-hmm. Make me feel numb, make it go away. Fortunately, that's not life. Mm-hmm. You can numb it away, and then in a week it's going to be super tight or whatever. It's still going to be a bump of this or that. You got to have something different. And so, being in tune with your body and understanding and using things holistically is something maybe new for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Entertainment is one of our biggest things. Everything, obviously, entertainment. It's why I asked about the marketing question. I want to get really, really deep into this Braves partnership because one thing that's happened across just about every sport, the rules have changed to where sports purists are like, well, it's not the same. The games are boring. They're dulling it down now.
Two-hand touch on the quarterback.
Exactly, that kind of stuff. but what y'all are doing is actually potentially saving our athletes and prolonging and extending careers.
Yeah.
What's the history about leading into that partnership, and then what's the future that you guys see with it?
You know, this could go back 15 years when I was at 790 The Zone. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to be in sports marketing, straight up, first off. It was early 2000s, NBA All-Star Game was here. I couldn't get tickets, and I had to figure out how I could get tickets to this thing. And when you're watching TNT and the slam dunk contest or the skills contest, there's a guy that's handing over a trophy. Mm-hmm. And he's usually the marketing guy from some company. So I was like, son of a bitch.
Wow. Wow.
That's the end.
That's how I do
That's
it.
That's how you get it.
I get into marketing.
I would have totally missed that.
Oh, man.
This goes to show what you can see when you're looking for something, right?
Oh, yeah.
So my second job of the ad agency was with a group called Haircuttery. And they were out of Virginia. And they had about 1,000 stores all over the country. And they had a couple different brands. But I was down here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And they ended up with Alexander Ovechkin as a sponsor, a partnership up in their Virginia market. Mm. And I was like, oh, cool. You guys are into sports like I am. And I was like, I was just doing some basic marketing for the hair thing at that point. I was like, so I'm going to go do some high school football now. So I partnered with a local radio station. I was at a different high school football game every Friday in the community where our salons were at. We were spray painting hair the color of the team.
Nice.
We were handing out a little bag of coupons and things that you'd bring back into store, right? So boom, 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 bring community, driving back into traffic, mm-hmm. you know, regionally message for your partner. And then I did a partnership with the Atlanta Thrashers at the time as well. We gave away mullet wigs.
I've seen pictures of I remember yeah. that. Yeah.
So we did 2 years in a row. Yeah, yeah. And we did some haircuts in one of the box suites where all the money would be donated to the NHL Cancer Fund. But that was a super fun promotion. So I always wanted to be in sports marketing. The Braves thing's huge, obviously, but coming out of 790, I had a lot of connections. My biggest, one of my best friends, Ryan Stewart, ex NFL player, ex Georgia Tech. Him and his brother were the Two Life Stews for years. He was a huge advocate for cannabis use. He helped me talk to thousands of ex NFL players that use this stuff, that needed it and wanted consultations on how to use it. Whether it was with the player or with even the family, mm-hmm. with wives, because they were the caregivers now. They were the ones dealing with the aftermath is what CTE was doing.
Right.
So we actually went down to Houston with Ryan for the Super Bowl when the Falcons were in the Super Bowl. Was it 2017, 2016, 2017?
I wiped that from my memory.
I was shaking on the couch by the end of the night, so I forgot.
I wiped that out of my memory. Wrote a book, How to Lose a Game. But go ahead.
Oh, my God. Sorry I brought it up. So we were down there, and we went on to Radio Row because of my radio background, right. And I fought tooth and nail to get us interviews on different stations throughout the country, and we did it. We started doing it. Ryan was talking it, and I was sitting next to him. We were speaking about the endocannabinoid system, what it meant for our brains. Mm-hmm. And then later on that weekend also, there was a panel at one of the music halls in Houston that was led by a doctor and that was super into the cannabis world, right, and a bunch of other ex-NFL athletes that were all speaking. So that was a cool event. And then we held a little soiree party for Ryan and some other guys that he knew from his days. And, again, we were introducing them to more products, having more conversations, getting in front of them and helping them understand what this could do for them. Mm-hmm. Even at a higher level, just past what they knew, right? So that was super huge, and that just continued, honestly. That's always been kind of in the back of my head is how do we continue helping adults that have these issues to help them continue living a normal life? Mm-hmm. Now we have partnerships with groups like the Kyle Pease Foundation. They help disabled athletes that want to participate in sports participate. Mm-hmm. You know, they put them in wheelchairs and run them in 5Ks. Yeah. Run them in triathlons. And so that's one of our biggest nonprofits of the George Amp Company and Simply Sport is the Kyle Pease Foundation. We continue to keep pumping into athletics and sports. Mm-hmm. We are the sponsor with the Atlanta Gladiators this year, the hockey team in Gwinnett.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
So we keep pushing. We keep connecting. We were down at the ATP Tennis Tournament Atlantic Station this year as well.
Right on. Okay.
So again, we keep pushing. We keep connecting. We keep trying to see what else can we do to normalize what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And hopefully keep getting that message out there that this is for athletes.
Have you hit that critical mass point yet when you've got so much support from people who are respected in their industries for it to start
we
to
will
snowball?
Never hit critical mass. We're just starting.
I don't think so.
This industry, even though it's a million years old, we're just now allowed to play. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, the koozie hasn't been invented yet for this industry.
Gotcha.
I mean, I have invented it. It's called the Puffin Chug, and it goes on here and has a little spot. It has a spot for your vape pen on it as well. Right, so when you're at a party, you just can do both. So I have made the koozie for the industry. But that being said, we haven't even gotten that far yet. The technology that you're seeing now that people can start playing is just going to start blowing and being crazy.
Okay. Honest question. Need an honest answer.
Yeah, man.
Do you think it actually... So we haven't. You're saying you'll never reach critical mass. Do you think?
I mean, not in our lifetime,
right? And do you think something that can help, or that is help hindering that, is, let's switch over from sports to music, is how much we glorify.
Nope. I think it helps.
You said nothing?
It helps.
It helps.
It has to. Everything that you can do to, I mean.
Well, so we're not glorifying what you're doing in sports, that's because fine. There's a purpose.
Either was Cheech or Chong. Either was Cheech and Chong. You got to introduce people. And that's what I.
And you don't think that's why so many people like politicians push back, is because of what gets promoted, like in Cheech and Chong and in music and stuff like that? You don't think that's the angle that gives them their ammo?
They may not like that, and then that's fine. They can just make regulation that says don't put this on TV and don't put it in publications and don't put it on whatever. That's fine. You can do that. You can say don't put in ads. Make regulations around it. Yeah. But they know at the end of the day that they did it when they were 15, 16, 20, whatever, at a concert.
Right.
That's the bullshit about it, right?
I think the fight that we're not talking about in this whole spot, and I don't want to go down a rabbit trail of it, is that a lot of the regulation that has made this stuff negative and illegal was to support the financing of other industries, because now you have a huge part of something.
Absolutely, yes.
So
absolutely.
I think that's the fight against the critical mass thing that we're talking about. And I don't think you can have the conversation without at least acknowledging that's a fact.
I mean, I could be Johnny Appleseed and cover this country and talk to every person I could possible, and I could never get it done in my life.
It's so funny you say Appleseed, because I was going to ask you, I mean, you're doing something, but you said we're not going to hit critical mass. You're literally planting trees that you may not get to see the shade from. Like, what is that something
all
that you're
all day long? I mean, who knows who's going to hear this interview or that interview or somebody that saw a parent benefit from this on their way out that may not know anything about it for another 20, 30 years, right?
Mm, right.
I mean, who knows? I mean,
yeah.
What if somebody at my kid's school needs this soon or down the road? I don't know. I mean, like, just never know. Yeah, it comes around when it comes around, but it might not be right now.
Your mom is a living testament.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And she tells everyone.
Really? She's like the walking
as she should.
She'll be like, hey, I need some more flyers.
Right on.
And I need another pack.
Right.
Yeah. Now, speaking of, like, flyers, are you doing cool little things? You've got those little QR code things that are on the back of everything?
Yeah, so one thing we do with the QR codes, it's kind of standard in our industry. It goes to all of the COAs, or certificates of analysis, that shows what is in the product.
Right on. Oh, yes. I wanted to get on that.
Yes.
How accurate is that? So you go to a dispensary and it's like it has the ratio, right? I mean, can they honestly be accurate with that? Or let's keep it 100.
They should be getting third party like oversight. Can they fake them? Can you get the PDF at home and fake it? Yes.
Sure.
Just like fake IDs back in the day.
Right.
Absolutely. But man, we're paying millions of dollars for licenses. These folks are paying millions of dollars to participate in this industry. I hope the hell they're not.
Because that would just be a detriment and a hindrance to the work
to the entire ecosystem of what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. When we start lying at this tiniest level to say it's got 20% versus 20, whatever, the smallest bullshit to sell, man, just sell it on the terpenes. Sell it on something other than the percentage that you think the consumer
will
consumer
want.
Isn't always right, right? It's your job to just like Starbucks made you say fucking venti. Mm. It's your job to drive the consumer where you want them to go.
I've never said venti.
To this day, I still don't get it right.
I refuse to say venti.
I still don't get it right. Not trying to push back.
So, but they built the path. And so it's our job as an industry, especially as the builders of it, to put people on the right path of understanding.
So outside of those knuckleheads, even those that truly want to be accurate, is that possible? Because I always heard
that
really not what they say it is.
It's everything's within like a plus or minus 10%.
But it isn't
right?
something that's
but
like
that
really way
nth off. Of a level, you're within.
Okay, so you can kind of adjust that.
Yes.
Trust that it's pretty
you're
much.
You're not taking a 10 milligram gummy and it being 15. That's not that.
Got you. Okay. All right.
It just can't be.
I said that part.
It can't be.
All right.
That's too much.
Anything else for you?
There's a bunch more for me. He was going on another thing when you asked me.
We
were talking about the QR codes and what they're sending it to. Just I want more details on that and just all the information that's there.
So yeah, COAs. A lot of times when you buy something out west, you'll have a piece of paper that has like a thing that shows the certificate of analysis and all the breakdown.
Sure.
Less is more for me. Okay. In our industry, there's a lot of waste. There's a lot of trash. A lot of plastic. Let's just fucking put it in a bag and throw it out there. For me, I don't think so. I want to recycle it. I don't want to put another piece of paper on here. I don't want to put more stuff on here. Go to the website. It's digital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Our packaging, a lot of this is either glass, which it is because it, you know, it is what it is, but plastic can be recycled. Mm-hmm. You know, aluminum can be recycled. This isn't plastic. This is a hemp plastic.
Okay.
So this is going to biodegrade and be more recyclable than regular plastic. Mm-hmm. We have some other stuff that just degrades when you throw it away. Mm-hmm. So again, trying to put less on the industry, trying to put less on our world, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to put less is more. People want to put a lot of packaging around products.
Right on. As far as the partnerships go, I mean, when you have names like the Braves, obviously that's going to hit huge here in the Southeast. Are you targeting artists in the music industry and actors, mm-hmm. and are they becoming more vocal? And is there anything you can talk about? Because I know when we talked to Chad, we couldn't talk about the Braves thing yet because I don't think it was official
when
we talked to Chad. Right. So we had to stay mums on that. So is there stuff that's already cooking that we can expect to see soon that will, one, aid in the education and the growth of it, and then just, as Stone said, just kind of changing that perception and perspective of what the industry is?
Yeah, we're really leaning into this athlete thing now. We're developing more products for the athlete.
Okay.
They need more education, and so it's also more building more programming around that.
Okay.
We have to work with these leagues. We can't work against them. Okay. We can't pretend like we know more, even though we do. But we have to try to work with them as much as possible to start infiltrating, whether it's with the trainers, or even on their social, their digital media to reach the masses. That's how we reach critical masses, by utilizing these larger groups. It's like having industrial, like Levi's or these big manufacturers start using hemp in a different way as well, mm-hmm. right? These big guys have to get it. So whatever we can do there to start leveraging it, what can we do to leverage this to get with Emory?
Yeah.
What can we do with this to work with other legitimate medical groups that work in the sports world to really infiltrate the athlete?
Right on. Okay.
But overall, we've also got to be regular marketers. We've got to do regular marketing things. We went to the pickleball tournament up here at Johns Creek yesterday with Major League Pickleball. It's an amazing environment and, you know, something that I'd want my brands to be part of, right? And so it's continuing to look for that. You know, we've got a couple big concerts coming up. We used to be part of Sweetwater 420, which was one of our signature events. Mm-hmm. So we love that world. We find that musicians are much harder to talk with.
Okay. Really?
About this kind of stuff. You know,
why?
Why is it?
I feel like they're very proud of their brands when they're in their windows and their peaks.
Okay.
And things just tend to be a little harder to get to.
Gotcha.
Okay. It's interesting. Yeah. That's I've been backstage. I've had the bags. I've had the connections of whether it's the actual promoter, the built, whatever, and it's, you know, say, thanks, guys. Yeah, there's a level. Like
I got my plug. I'm good.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm also dealing with that in the cannabis world.
Right.
Especially like a Sweetwater. Halfway through the day would turn into a lot of smugness from folks. Mm-hmm. I know about terpenes. I bet you do.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Right.
Like, I'm not here to say I'm better than you or you're better than me. Mm-hmm. Let's grow this fucking industry, dude.
Right.
That's a good point.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. So is it? this just brings up more and more questions. In the music industry, there at one point there was a kind of a crab in a barrel kind of mentality, until you started seeing hubs of collective artists getting together, and then you started seeing the blow up-tuation of the feature stuff and all mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of artists that I worked with didn't want to work with a bunch of people. They just wanted to do with their camps, and that was it. Do y'all have a crabs in the barrel mentality? Like, if I can't do this, then I'm not going to let you do it. Is there a lack of partnerships?
Mm-mm, okay. Not at all. I mean, we've always been a partner here in Atlanta. Okay. If somebody's doing something, we would be there giving them money to support it. Mm-hmm. Right? We're setting up our tent. We're there. We're popping up. We're there to make yours look better. Whatever we can do, let's grow together.
Right on. I want to know what all this stuff is. I see a whole heap, a lot of things.
So I was going to say,
we'll just start with the CBD oil that's NSF approved. If you're an athlete that has to get tested, this will help you.
Okay.
This will help you not test hot, but this is our certified NSF Atlanta Braves Simply Sport oil.
Right on.
So that kicks everything off. We have a CBD beverage. Everybody loves beverages. It's mm-hmm. also a great mixer, but it's 20 milligrams of CBD in this guy.
Okay.
That's a beautiful tasting fella.
Right.
We have some CBD THC hard candies. There's 2 milligrams of CBD and 2 milligrams of THC per candy.
Okay. Are these like Skittles or would they be like Jolly Rancher kind of?
I'm going to go more Jolly Rancher, more old school candy like you get in your grandma's little bowl kind of deal.
Right.
Yeah.
As you say, like grandma used to do it. Exactly.
Yeah, like in the bowl, like those little guys. Yep. So not super sweet like a Skittle or like a Jolly Rancher. That's new, more new age. I kind of want, and again, I'm gluten free. I don't like to eat as much sugar, but I also know what consumers like. So I try to pull back on, like even the flavor profile on this isn't going to be super sweet.
Okay.
Okay.
I like to pull back on those artificial things, pull back on these things that, nice. I mean, if I'm giving you an anti-inflammatory, why do I want to give you a bunch of sugar as well?
Right.
Yo.
Counterintuitive.
But so also,
common sense.
But I also know what you want.
Right. So and I love the fact that you call that a mixer. With these, though, for those that may not know, 2 milligram on a scale. Are we looking at that's a high amount, that's a low amount?
That's probably, you know, 1 to 2 milligrams is really where you want to start off with.
Okay.
In, out west, when you get something, 10's the minimum.
Yeah.
And that's what's considered a dose, 10 milligrams.
Okay.
My wife does not really consume, so she's in that 2 to 5 milligram.
Yeah, so so is my wife, except for on the 4th of July when she just decides to eat 15s when we're about to start the fireworks show. That's always fun every year.
But that was, that's a good segue to my point, because I was going to say on sidebar, guys, we should have a BTS scene. Let's go ahead and consume some. But then I just realized,
I mean,
I'm the lightest of everyone in this room. Probably. Yeah. So all the BTS would have just been me.
Just put the camera
Chad.
I was smoking in my car when y'all were pulling
right. And you're dropping in mental biology. So I realized that wouldn't have worked.
I might have eaten mushrooms in there. I don't know.
Hey, man, listen.
So the candies are excellent. These are great for microdosing or just kind of popping throughout the day. If you want to build yourself up to a point, right? Let's say you're at a party and you don't want to drink, but you're just drinking some CBD. Maybe one of these every 20 minutes.
Okay.
Right. Whatever it is. You're out on a hike. You're out fishing. You're out just hanging out at a concert. This is a great consumable.
Now,
somebody brought you shopping all day and you don't want to be there.
Husbands, there you go. We're going to talk about the legality of some of this really quickly.
Yeah.
If I'm in the state of Florida, Georgia, Alabama, am I okay?
You're okay in all 50 states. This is hemp-derived products.
There we go.
So hemp and cannabis, what's the difference? I don't know. You tell me. The level of THC in it, they look the same. They smell the same. But it's the level of THC because of how it's been bred over time.
Okay.
Really, it's not about marijuana, cannabis, or hemp. It's really about sativa indica and the hemisphere they're grown, what they look like, and what those kind of plants can produce in those areas, sativa, indica, terpene profiles as well. But anyway, yeah, so this is all legal because it's hemp derived, and anything from a THC perspective is below the 0.3 percentage perspective as well.
Okay.
Now, all these words you just about 0.3?
There you go.
So the hemp bill, the 2018 hemp, the farm bill said hemp can be legal with a THC element of up to a certain percentage by weight.
Okay.
We call it weight. The weight could be an oil, which is super light, or a gummy, which is heavy. So we can put more THC in this
the gummy.
Because of that. Yep.
Gotcha. So
0.3 Delta 9 in accordance with the 2018 Farm Bill.
Didn't know that.
So 0.3. So Delta 9 is legal as long as it falls below that percentage by weight.
Right.
So I got cookies that are this big.
Yeah.
I can put a lot more in that.
Uh-huh.
Have one of those cookies.
Have you?
Made the cookie. Put it in the microwave, heat it up a little bit.
And then it melts up.
Okay.
Scoop ice cream. Or whatever.
So would this be a good analogy when it comes to the legal edibles and stuff, right? Is where drinks are concerned, like Johnny will wake up with a Jack or something.
I do 2 shots right. more. Yes. Now, that was Uncle Nearest this morning.
Now, is it just because of both taste and taste and the slight effect of it? Like some people will drink out of I don't know the word used for this, but it's comparison to getting drunk, right? It's just the what they say, maybe take the edge off.
It's
they call it that.
It's like lubing up your system.
There you go.
We could pause, but that just took me off guard.
I actually thought it was effective.
No, I got me. It took me off guard, and it made so much sense. So I got stuck right in the middle. That was like, all right. So it's like that. So but the reason why I'm saying it is, you don't really start shoving these down like to get high per se. Is what I'm trying to get.
We're not doing any Tic Tac challenge where we're eating the whole bottle at one time and see what happens in 30 minutes. God no. Please don't. Mm-hmm. Do people get too high and bad things happen? Sure.
Right.
people adversely have bad effects, and they'll go to the ER, and they'll say they had a bunch of tests.
See, and that's what I wanted to not gloss over, because like I said, people have selective hearing.
If you drink too much, what happens?
Exactly.
It's alcohol poisoning.
Exactly.
Unless you have a high tolerance.
Or what happened if you thought you were drinking a seltzer, and you were drinking a vodka seltzer thing?
Right.
And next thing you know, you're four or five deep, and you're like, holy crap, I'm about to throw up.
Or you had a Stoney Colada, has the same effect.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But, yeah, I got to make you one of those. But I wanted, because we talk about so much of the benefit. No one ever talks about the benefits of alcohol, really. I mean, right? You know, drink vodka if you have cancer. So we know the benefits of these, and that can make people be like, oh, this is good for me. And correct. This is, so I just want to make sure.
Now CBD is something that you could definitely take a couple hundred milligrams a couple times a day and it not give you anything adversely affected like that, right?
Right.
Okay. THC is completely different, where CBD is one of these kind of things and THC is one of these things. Right.
And THC, is that the thing that affects more of the brain?
So you have a few types of THC, but yes, Delta-9, what we traditionally know as THC, okay, affects your CB1 receptor or your brain. Mm-hmm. And that's when you negatively associate that psychoactive feeling.
Okay.
It's in your brain.
That's when the THC.
Delta-8 is more of a body high, and so you don't get that negative feeling as much in the brain.
Mm-hmm. So body high is like what? Energy. I just feel good.
You're still going to get high. You're just not going to get, as much of a feeling in the brain. And you're going to get, again, we talk about the endocannabinoid system, the benefits of the body, the peripherals, those things you're going
to
get more of.
So it's more spread out as opposed to being concentrated.
Correct. Right. Yeah. CBD goes both.
Okay.
And again, you can compound that a lot more. THC, you do not want to. Now, again, we talk about this with anything, again, right? Too much water.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Too much peanut butter. Absolutely. Too much medicine. Too many pain pills.
Right.
You still got to build a tolerance to pain pills.
Right. Facts.
You got to build a tolerance to everything. And I think that's what's important, no matter what you're doing, that you want to, sweet tea, got to build a tolerance. You're going to start, you're going to be bananas the first few days you drink it.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you get the whole gateway argument from, to be honest with you. I mean, it's exaggerated. But that's where they get the whole gateway thing, where to a point where you're trying to get the same effects. You take more and more and more, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, let me switch to LSD now.
Correct. We're scared because of what we've been pitched, mm-hmm, and everyone else is scared what they've been pitched, and whatever trauma they've involved in their lives have all built this up to, I'm staying away from what that thing says right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Yep. It's just all these storylines we got in the back of our heads, right, that mm-hmm, we're just, that's how we make decisions.
Absolutely. Stone likes to do this quick rapid fire 5 questions thing. I don't know if he has some today.
I didn't today, and he's the perfect guy for it, and I didn't have any.
Fail. I've got one.
Well, you know, I can find some.
How do you feel about ayahuasca?
Let's go.
You said what?
Let's go.
What'd you say? You said let's go?
Yeah.
Oh, like go let's talk.
I have I have a buddy recently who gave me a little vial of DMT that he made from some bark.
Okay. We need to talk more for real.
Yeah. All right, careful now. All this is live. And
well, that's why Johnny's not getting too deep. I don't want the perception.
But it's also life.
It also it exactly. Is. And what we're doing right now is,
first of all, I see what you did there. Thank you very much. But that was a question that I was going to ask. And I was going to warn you that it is a little off the cuff and take you off guard. But out of this whole experience you're having, mm-hmm, and doing, what kind of, for lack of a cheesy term, what kind of life lessons have you derived from your mission and from what you're doing with this stuff? Like, what is it about life that's caused you to either see better, be better, or just, I don't know, what's been impactful life-wise for you as you've gotten out of all of this, to helping people, to whatever it may be?
I think we all need help. Keep saying yes. I mean, just unless your bandwidth is just so burnt out, but typically it's not. I mean, we're usually pretty good about that kind of stuff. I mean, keep saying yes, keep opening doors, keep going. Mm. Keep meeting new people. Some people get old. I mean, just in general and in life, you know, just not everyone's going to stay the same. And if you can bring people along, great, but that shouldn't stop you, right?
Yeah, that's good. A real good point. Almost a reason for a season.
Absolutely.
Like we just talked about. Yep. We were talking about how sometimes people are in your life for a reason or for a season.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
okay.
Yeah, we'd have to assume that in your industry, you run into that possibly more because people are more afraid to touch things that aren't as socially accepted for extended periods of time.
I feel like people find me in their lives for a lot of reasons, mm-hmm, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
You do have a little Jesus-esque going on.
Side note, about 10 years ago, a friend had their birthday, and you had to dress up like somebody famous from L.A. I came as Jesus.
Yes, you have been her?
Okay. I came as Jesus.
Did you have the skates on, though?
I didn't have skates.
Like, the guy in L.A. that does it.
I didn't. But some children showed up, thought I was Jesus, and we took a picture. Right.
There you
That's
go.
Awesome.
And you changed their lives then, I bet.
I met them about 6 months ago again after 10 years.
No way, that's awesome.
They were there fucking dying laughing.
That is hilarious.
Because you look the same, I bet, right?
Guys.
But speaking of what you said, changed lives. Wait, do you have a story of someone going from zero?
Too many.
To
just,
like
just too many.
Is
just
there
too,
one that sticks out or no?
Too many.
Okay.
I can't focus on one. There's too many.
And that proves the positive benefits and the necessity for this to go because it's become so natural and so normal.
I mean, it's I serve ice cream.
Yeah,
I'm just selling ice cream. Yeah. I got patients that come in and they're happy. Mm-hmm. I got a fucking great ice cream.
Right on.
I'm sorry. I wish I could remember, like, what's his name in Friday. That's all I kept thinking of. Why I can't think of his name? Come on, y'all, help me out. What's the guy in Friday? The big worm.
Big worm.
Thanks, you're big worm. Yo, this is awesome. Where is the Georgia Hemp Company located?
Well, the biggest place you can find us is thegeorgiahempcompany.com. But we have 4 locations in Atlanta, Duluth off Sugarloaf, Woodstock, Sandy Springs, and Decatur.
Where are you at the most? Which one do you hop in or do you bounce around?
Man, there's a golf course I try to find every week.
There we go.
Get them stuff. No, I'm usually in Sandy Springs because that's our hub. That's where shipping, that's where production is. That's where a lot of people are just coming in and out. Yeah. It's closest to my house. Not that that matters. But, that's where a lot of the ins and outs are happening, right. So I'll usually pop in there.
Do you do tours and little educational micro things and stuff like that for?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Okay. If it's a vendor that says, hey, can you join a Zoom and educate our staff? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If it's a nonprofit that reaches out, if it's a work lunch that an office reaches out to, yes, mm-hmm. 100%.
And what about in one of your stores? Do you ever have some kind of a community event where it's just
yes.
Yeah,
we do comedy nights. We have a big
really.
Yeah, we have comedy nights, yoga events. We have a big equity tour that's coming through in a couple of weeks. We've done podcasts in the shop. We've shot videos in the shop. I mean,
And those kind of schedules can be found at georgiahemp.com.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. And we're starting to, that picked up a lot more after, obviously.
Of course, after COVID.
But I'm an event guy. I'm a marketing guy. I love. Yeah. I'm also an only child, so like I like bringing people in, and mm-hmm. I don't know if that brings a blanket over all of this as well, but I like just bringing people in and hanging out. Like,
it absolutely does. My son's an only child and probably will be one, and you make me happy to see that he'll become this.
Is
one.
Is he a Cancer as well?
No, he's a Scorpio, which is terrifying.
Anyway. Joe Shalom. Well, I'm well, you are peaceful though. So that actually does fit. It is Joe Shalom. Shalom.
When I moved to Atlanta, everyone thinks I'm Jewish. They just kind of roll with it sometimes.
Joe Shalom, man. We appreciate you, dude. It's always fun talking with you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Again, GeorgiaHemp.com. Go check it out for more information. Visit a store. And now that you're smarter and wiser, now you know how to use these wonderful products.
Yep.
Johnny.
Just Johnny Vaughn. JustJohnnyVaughn on all of the everythings.
Hey, StoneStafford.com. You know what it is. And, of course, everything with us, LifeOnPodcast.com. Look, you guys, we've gotten texts and stuff recently where y'all are like, man, y'all are great, y'all are funny, y'all so wise, this and that. We appreciate that, trust me. But you know what makes it even more valuable is when you share that publicly with other people. You can see the grind of great people we bring along, and we're always teaching you guys something. So like, share, subscribe. We still have 3 months left to reach that 1 million subscribers, man, in 2023. All right, we love y'all. We are out. Peace. So back to what I was saying. What I was saying.